This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning to you. Good to have you along with us. You missed all the excitement there during that commercial break. I spit water all over my console. I blame producer James. We know better than to make me laugh when I'm drinking water. What is that about? It reminded us of Chubby Bunny when he stuffed one too many marshmallows in his cheeks and one catapulted across the room and smacked into a microphone.
I can't.
If you haven't seen that video or been part of our latest round of Chubby Bunny, the Chubby Bunny World Championship, there's proof on our YouTube channel.
No, absolutely not.
Gosh, I missed that. We need to do it again, except we're really only supposed to do it once a year. Maybe we can make it semi-annual.
Is there any other sort of game we could play similar to Chubby Bunny?
Well, we're not doing anything that has to do with stuffing hot dogs in your mouth. So don't even think about that for July 4th.
July is coming up. That's
hell
right.
No. Nope.
What if we do
nope.
like pigs in a blanket?
Nope. 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 Absolutely not.
Not even with pigs in a blanket?
No. We're not doing that. Those food eating contests, it's different because the marshmallows with Chubby Bunny, you don't eat them. I mean, I get that upchucking marshmallows is disgusting, and I was holding mine in my hand for quite a while until I realized it. Well, and we had forgotten trash cans. That was the major faux pas, the major misstep of this latest Chubby Bunny Championship, is I forgot to bring trash cans in here. But anyway, those Kobayashi hot dog eating contests and whoever else are the household names when it comes to competitive
Joey
eating,
Chestnut.
They freak me out. I cannot watch it. It makes me want to throw up just watching them. No, we're never doing that.
But have you ever tried competing in one? You might like it.
You know, Did you hear what I just said?
You never watched
you know
it. You
know I have
competing?
An active gag reflex. I cannot do it. I will never
That's
do it.
That's why we use pigs in a blanket. A little smaller. You can get a couple more of them down, dip them in the water, slide right in.
How many times do I have to say no before I cut
like,
you off?
Maybe like 20 more and I'll stop.
Okay, you'll get fired before you say it 20 more times, so don't do
Yeah,
it.
Probably.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. If looks could kill, producer James would be now dead on the floor this Thursday morning. We are live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. PGA Championship tees off in mere hours from Tulsa, Oklahoma. If you missed my conversation with Brady Cannon of Visa Network, he's also the Long Shots podcast host. Really interesting to hear his handicapping of the field and the challenges of Southern Hills, but also how Tiger Woods' game fits Southern Hills versus, say, the Open Championship, which comes up as the third major of the golf year. So, well, actually fourth major, right? Because the British Open or the Open Championship is after we get to the U.S. Open and Father's Day weekend. So if you missed that, it's part of our podcast, After Hours, AmyLawrence.com, but we will bring part of that back this hour. We had hoops and hockey on Wednesday night, a trio of games in the postseason, which, of course, is the headliner these days. And also We've been talking about, just a throwback, really, because we hadn't gotten to it before, but Kyrie Irving's latest comments from the I Am Athlete podcast, and that includes giving himself a brand new name, his indigenous name, but also the future with Kyrie and the Nets, and you can understand why it's up in the air. So find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. And then our Facebook page as well, where we have this one listener who it seems like a weekly thing with him now, is concerned about my health. He's sure. Now, I don't know this man. I appreciate his care. But he continues to post routinely on our Facebook page that I sound like something is wrong. Jay, be honest, do I sound like I'm sick?
No, I didn't think so. Hadn't struck me.
No?
No.
I mean, you know I'm not sick because we talk nonstop, but is that weird?
But you said he says this all the time?
Yeah, routinely. It's,
right,
it
so if
seems
it's every
like it's
day.
Been a, no, not every day, but weekly over the last month or so where he's determined that there's something wrong with me.
Is there any sort of pattern to this? Like, is it every Thursday morning or like he says it or...
I do know that he is a regular listener, and I appreciate his support. I think I see him pretty regularly on our Facebook page, but I'm not sure what insight he might have as to the disease that I'm afflicted with, because he's sure that I'm sick and something's wrong with me.
We make no excuses. We seek no comfort.
I do not fear sudden death. Oh, my God.
I don't fear sudden death.
Yeah. Whatever disease I have, whatever I am afflicted with, I do not fear sudden death.
Man, we got a lot of warts.
I don't think warts are life-threatening, are they? I suppose they could be, but...
I guess they could, but...
They are for you if you kiss a frog or a toad. Frogs don't have warts. Toads have warts. So, yes, if there's anyone else out there who's concerned that there's something wrong with me... Not that I know of. I mean, well, there's plenty of things wrong with me, but not health-wise.
We met our end.
What did he say? We met our end?
We met our end.
Well, apparently we've graduated now from I'm sick to I have a life-threatening and sure to be life-ending, life-altering disease, Jay. Where? How do we graduate to that? I do not fear sudden death. To the best of my knowledge, there's nothing wrong with me. I feel just fine.
I think we're okay here.
You do? Are you prepared, though, if I am stricken to guide the next host into a new era of After Hours?
Oh, so now we're talking about
well,
it. This is like
I don't know. He's pretty sure there's something
right,
wrong
it's
with
been
me.
Weeks now, so
he's
it's
very
chronic.
Concerned. Right? He's very concerned that I sound like I'm sick. So that's what I'm asking. Do I sound like something's wrong with me?
No, I really didn't think so. And normally I would be able to tell right away because I listen to you every single day for 4 hours and it didn't.
I'm so sorry.
I mean, I didn't hear any
you
difference.
You signed up for that.
It's true.
We all know there's an expiration date, though. 5 years and you're out. That's what I said, too, when I first signed up for
Man,
After Hours.
It was
hours.
A long game.
It's a long game, and it's wearing me out. It's afflicting me. Okay, on that note, I'm fine. That's really all I wanted to say, but we ended up down a funny rabbit hole. Maybe it's only funny to me. I don't know, but the fact that he's really concerned that I'm sick or that something's wrong with me based on the show. I mean, does the show sound like it's sick? Maybe the show is not its typical high quality.
The show is ill?
Maybe because the show is not excellent quality. Maybe the show is waning.
Yeah, there's no chance.
Something tells me that a validation from Urban Meyer is not enough to get it done. I feel like that's the opposite of what we're going for, Jay. I could be totally
wrong.
Yeah,
I think based on that drop there, maybe the show is a little ill.
Great. Now we have to fight that.
Yeah, I've been immunized.
That late. I am immunized, to be sure. I'm immunized from your comments and your concerns. I seek no comfort. All right, I don't really know how to get out of that rabbit hole. How about some playoff basketball? Anyone concerned about the fact that the Dallas Mavericks might be ill or afflicted? They're afflicted with Andrew Wiggins. At least Luka Doncic is. He definitely knew how to stay in front of Luka. And watching the game between the Mavericks and the Golden State Warriors, the opener of their Western Conference Finals, I thought it was really impressive with how not only did Andrew Wiggins stick to Luka Doncic to the point where you could see the scratches post-game on Doncic. They were not on purpose. It just happens in basketball. I remember when I used to play college basketball, and honestly, I think it happened to most of us in the women's game. You would pretty much get through the end of a week, and you'd have all these scratches and, like, fingernail marks on your arms. And it used to be a contact sport, right? And there's been so much talk in these playoffs about how they're more of a throwback to 90s basketball. Someone made the comment or the joke of the 90s called and they want their playoff basketball back. I don't remember who said it exactly. We've seen more contact, but yeah, it certainly used to be that scars, kind of battle scars and scratches and bruises, sometimes even black eyes, these were just a product of playing tough, hard-nosed basketball. Well, turns out that Luka Doncic has a scratch that was showing up post game courtesy of one Andrew Wiggins. And that wasn't the only battle scar he got in this game.
First of all, how's your face?
Oh, it's good. Makes me look tough.
There were a couple points you looked like you were pulling at your right shoulder. Is everything all right there?
Yeah, I felt a little bit pain, you know, when I shot it and pulled a hand, but it's okay. It's here behind. It's fine. We'll get some trauma and we'll be fine.
I've listened to that multiple times and I don't know what he says. We'll get some treatment. Is that what he says? Get some treatment.
Fine.
We'll be fine.
We'll get some treatment. We'll be fine.
Treatment. Okay. Maybe I just need some treatment myself. As about the scratch, it's at the very beginning and hopefully you understood what he said. But he said let's hear it again. The beginning of that cut.
First of all, how's your face?
No, it's good. Makes me look tough.
There are a couple points you looked like you were pulling at your right shoulder.
Okay, I don't need to hear the rest. I don't care about the rest. I mean, I care, but we've already heard it. Makes me look tough to have this scratch, this scar from Andrew Wiggins. Well, Wiggins looked tougher. He forced Luka into a pretty tough shooting night. He was 6 of 18, 3 of 10 from beyond the arc. Now, he did end up with 20 points, but he also had 7 turnovers. And Wiggins wants to remind everyone that he's not old and over the hill yet.
To make him work, you know, that was the main thing. 94 feet to make him work, you know, pick him up, make everything tough for him. You know, he's a good player, so he's gonna make shots, you know, he's gonna do his thing, but just stay on him, make it tough. I'm still young, you know, I don't really get too tired. I'm locked in, I'm motivated, you know, and when you see it work, or I feel like it's helping us play better. It just motivates me to do it more. And I'm not tired or nothing.
He took the challenge, and Luka's tough, man. Like, he still finds a way to control possessions. You got to assume he'll shoot a little bit better. But Wiggs was relentless.
Relentless. And the defense is what Steve Kerr highlighted post-game. He felt like their defense was spectacular. So they held the Mavs to just 36% shooting. Early on, they couldn't hit anything from deep. They did hit a few more triples later in the game. But as much as we know the Warriors for the Splash Brothers and the three-point shooting and the dazzling plays by Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, even Jordan Poole now, they pride themselves on being a really good defensive team. When Draymond Green is not out there, that changes. He sets the tone, both mentally, physically, emotionally. He's the heart and soul, and he makes it all go. And Steve Kerr never misses the opportunity to point to Draymond as the spark and the catalyst. But the numbers even bear it out from last night, not just the shooting percentage for Dallas, but the 7 block shots, the 8 steals. And then typically, now part of this is because of the flow of the game, the Warriors were shooting a lot better than were the Mavericks. And so naturally there were more rebounds available as Dallas was missing more shots, but they also out-rebounded Dallas. They had more fast break points and they had more points in the paint. So we're seeing that the Warriors are capable of beating opponents various ways. When they were trying to match up with the Grizzlies and that that small lineup that helped to win them three NBA titles over the course of 5 years, it didn't quite work with the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies are young, they're fast, they can kind of keep up. And so they morphed into a larger lineup and they decided to accentuate the height and the, you know, their length and their reach in the paint and pound the paint a little more in what was the closeout game against Memphis. And they were still able to use that the way that they started out against the Dallas Mavericks. It was defense first and then the shooting kind of picked up in the second half, but even Stephen Clay didn't find their rhythm until later in the game. Though Clay Thompson, he's so funny. I mean, I can identify with this because when I suck at my job, I definitely am in a bad mood. But just as much when I do well at my job, well, then I'm much more chipper. And that is Clay Thompson.
I'm glad I had an efficient night. I never feel good when I go home and I shoot inefficiently. So I was very happy with my shooting performance tonight. You know, didn't have a field goal in the first half, but that'll never discourage me. I will always hunt my shot.
That will never discourage me. I may not have a bucket, an entire half of basketball, but my job is to get out there.
I'm human, so when I don't make shots, it can affect my mood.
I love Clay. I'm so glad he's back. It just was not the same without him. As for the Mavericks, they're going to have to match up. They're going to, I know the series is not over. So we're not burying the Mavericks, but they're going to have to find a way to push back. So the Warriors set the tone. They were more aggressive and Jason Kidd needs the Mavs to respond now.
The team that's feels.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Physical tends to find a way to win, and so we have to get back to being physical. Again, offensively, we got some good looks. We got to take care of the ball, but we were prepared. We just missed shots tonight.
There were a lot of great looks that just didn't go down. It happens. It's basketball. Hopefully, we get those same looks in game two, and we believe we'll make them.
It's a series. You know what I mean? I don't think Golden State sitting over there saying they won the same way we ain't sitting over here saying we lost. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got to get 4 wins. So, same vibe. I think we have reason to be confident. I don't think we're going to shoot as poorly. Like you said, they threw different defenders, different defenses at us. And so now it's just about looking at the film and coming back with solutions.
Spencer Dinwiddie. I like the experience, the veteran leadership, the presence there. And, yeah, I mean, he states the obvious. There's no need to panic. We lost one game. The series is not over. They haven't won it. We haven't lost it. And it's worth repeating that they fell into an 0-2 hole against the Phoenix Suns. And still, they had to play to game seven because it was the home team that won every single one of those games until that game seven on Sunday. We had some awesome drama. Two very different games to open up two more series in the Stanley Cup Conference semifinals. That's where we are. Round number two would have been easier. So we'll get to that coming up. And then also, we're hours away from the start of the second major of the golf season. And it's pretty interesting. It feels like a throwback to, say, 15, 20 years ago when Tiger and Phil, they were always hogging the headlines. Well, Tiger and Phil, one is there and one is not, and yet they are still the top headlines. Good morning to you. I'm not sick. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Truba gets to a loose puck. He backhands one to the Kane zone. He'll be worked forward. Teravainen now throws out front. Aho back in. He scores! Sebastian Aho ties it at one with 2:23 left in the third period. Kane's able to make some change to the personnel. Pesci gets it to Smith. His rocket doesn't get through. Back down by Truba. Smith gets the score!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On Carolina Hurricanes radio, man, this was a tale of two games almost. Early on, the Rangers get a goal, and this is, of course, happening in Carolina. They get a goal, and they're able to sit on it. And they play this defensive style, and Igor Shesterkin, well, he is Igor Shesterkin, the one we've seen all season long, but certainly in this postseason as well. And he stonewalls pretty much every attempt that the Hurricanes have. But also, there's a crowd. There's a lot of bodies in front of the net. And so the Rangers are trying to protect that 1-0 lead. What do we talk about when the coverage in football, when you drop into, like, you're trying to protect a lead late in a game?
The prevent.
The prevent defense very often prevents nothing.
Prevents you from winning is what I like to say.
So as producer James points out, it did, in fact, in this particular case, not help the Rangers. It did not protect that lead. It's just a different style. Normally what you see is the Rangers flying all over the ice. Well, in the third period, late especially in the third period, Carolina just found this separate gear. They really did turn into like this frenzied kind of Hurricane style where they're just throwing pucks on the net and they're crashing the boards. They're crashing on net trying to get the offensive rebound. So the first goal they score, the one that ties it, gosh, 2.5 minutes to go in the third period, Sebastian Aho gets his own offensive rebound and slams it home. And then into the overtime, it's actually a puck that was deflected on a Rangers defenseman ever so slightly, but changed the trajectory of the puck and the way it was traveling and at the speed that it travels. And I'm not sure if Shesterkin was going to stop it anyway, but it definitely did change the downward trajectory. And just like that, sudden death. A death is sudden in the NHL postseason. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So Ian Cole, this is kind of a cool story. He's a defenseman and not one that generally scores. 100-plus career playoff games. And before last night, had one Stanley Cup playoff goal.
Well, it felt good, obviously. Winning the game is what matters. Kind of getting our first taste of OT is great. Kind of turning on in the third period and then continuing that into the OT, I think, was a great sign as well, because we weren't necessarily happy with how the first two periods went.
We raised the level of our game, the intensity, and we'll play with a little more desperation, which is what we needed. We were lacking a little of that for two periods, and obviously it doesn't always work out, but we had a real good third period, obviously, and that got us back in the game, and then obviously carried over into overtime.
Ian Cole now has two career playoff goals over the course of his long playoff career. Although, as Jay pointed out earlier, he's got a couple of Stanley Cups, so don't cry for me, Argentina. And then Rod Brind'Amour, who talks about the desperation mode that really kicked in for them. So the Rangers had the lead for 57-plus minutes in this game. And we'll see if they revert back to kind of flying all over the ice. They remind me of water bugs. Is that weird? You know, water bugs, they kind of skate all over the top of the water, and they go so fast, they flit here and flit there. And that's the speed that you see from the Rangers. They they're young. They don't have a ton of playoff experience, but they're learning on the fly, and they've got a particular style that can tie opponents in fits and can really create opportunities. And so we'll see what game two looks like. Ultimately, it's a 2-1 final. That's not what happened or the way the game played out to start the Battle of Alberta. So this one taking place in Calgary between the Oilers and the Flames, and twice. Well, first of all, opening minute of the series, Flames put in two goals. Before you know it, they've got a 3-0 lead. Crowd is whipped into a frenzy. They're up 5-1. They're up 6-2. And then in the span of 13 minutes, the Oilers put in four goals of their own. This one was crazy. Enough of a seesaw affair to make you seasick, so to speak. But yeah, this was a game that the Calgary Flames had to win twice.
Off the draw, McDavid in the net to tie it. What a save, rebound, score! And the Oilers have come all the way back. Kyler Yamamoto, we've got a brand new hockey game in the opener of this Battle of Alberta. Centers it, Anderson shoots, and scores! Rasmus Anderson puts the puck into the top corner of the Oilers' net. And the Flames jump back out in front and take a 7-6 lead. Holds it in, walks in, shoots, and scores! Matthew Tkachuk finds the 5-hole of Mikko Koskinen. And the Flames are back out in front by 2. It is 8-6.
You hear the calls first on Oilers radio and then on Flames radio. So the Flames twice, they see their 4-goal lead erased, but then ultimately, and actually it happened so quick, the Oilers tie to make it 6-6, and then boom, not even a minute later, the Flames have scored again. So this was, it was frenzied to be sure. And Daryl Sutter, with his dry humor, says, hey, this is exactly how they drew it up with 15 goals.
We were told that it was a boring series last time, so I told the players yesterday we got to score 7 to 10 goals today, knowing full well that they'd probably score 5 to 8 if we had, and then we could win. So that's what we did.
We did talk about this, well, not the 15 goals in the opener, but we talked about the fact that in this series, you have 3 of the top 4 points scorers in the NHL this season. And they certainly did generate a lot of opportunities and a lot of points in the opener.
Cushion is a pillow with feathers, right?
Sometimes you have to think and process what he says, because initially it will fly right over you, and you have no idea what he's talking about. But he is...
Every game you lose, take a few feathers up.
He's one of those guys that will drop the gems and the nuggets, to be sure. So yeah, Stanley Cup postseason, 2 series that begin on Wednesday night, and they're totally different. Also, this has nothing to do with hockey, except that maybe it makes you feel like it's hockey weather. So Alberta, Western Canada, that's where this is taking place, this series between Edmonton and Calgary. And so that's why it's called the Battle of Alberta. I just a few minutes ago saw, and this is Jim Cantore, so he's the Weather Channel and he's a superstar. He posted or he shared a video from Vancouver, British Columbia. A snowstorm! So next province to the west. 60 mile per hour winds and a snowstorm, a rare snowstorm in Vancouver, British Columbia. Crazy. I mean, it's beautiful, but it's also the type of wind gust that'll knock you off the side of the mountain. So I'm not sure if they have any snow in Alberta, but in Vancouver, which is over on the coast, British Columbia, some mountains there are getting pummeled. Kind of crazy. I mean, I was, I wasn't complaining. I wasn't upset about my vacation along the coast of North Carolina last week. And there were gale force winds on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They finally started to die down. So it wasn't quite your typical beach vacation. I wore my winter hat more than I wore my sun hat. It was a great vacation. Don't cry for me either. But I suppose I should be happy there was no snow. on Atlantic Beach.
Yeah, you missed out on the snow, luckily.
It's too bad. I mean, that would have added. The only thing I was missing on my vacation in terms of weather, because there were temps in the 30s, gale force winds, thunderstorms, rainbows, crazy clouds. I actually was just talking about it a little while ago, and I did share on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page. I've never taken photos of clouds quite like these. And so I finally shared them. I meant to do it last week, and I just didn't. So these clouds, they're menacing, they're mesmerizing, and I've had a few people tell me, you need to enter those in a contest because they're pretty crazy. So check them out on both Twitter and Facebook. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio, a few hours away from the PGA Championship teeing off. No Phil, lots of Tiger. What is this? 2005.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
It's always disappointing when the defending champion's not here. Phil has said some things that I think of a lot of us who are committed to the tour and committed to the legacy of the tour have pushed back against, and he's taken some personal time, and we all understand that, but I think that some of his views on how the tour could be run, should be run, been a lot of disagreement there. But as we all know, as a professional, we miss him being out here. I mean, he's a big draw for the game of golf. He's just taking his time, and you know, we all wish him the best when he comes back. Obviously, we're going to have difference of opinions that how he sees the tour, and we'll go from there.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Tiger Woods talking about the golfer who for the longest time was his arch rival. And I feel like we've done this throwback to maybe 15, 20 years ago when Tiger and Phil hogged every headline at the major championships. And here's Tiger returning for his second big tournament since that car accident and his recovery. Different expectations, I think, for the PGA because the course is different than it is at Augusta National. And we saw him make the cut in Georgia. But for Phil, he's not even there. And until they tee off, and maybe even after they do, his void, the void that's left there without any answers, is still casting a major shadow and is definitely one of the top storylines going into Thursday's opening rounds. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Had a chance to welcome a brand new guest to our show from the West Coast earlier, so midnight Pacific time, Brady Cannon, who is a host on VSiN Live. This is the sports and betting network that was started by Brett Musburger a few years ago. And so we'd never talked to him before, but he's big into golf. His Twitter is at Las Vegas Golfer. His podcast is Long Shots, which kind of fits the conversation. And the whole conversation is on our podcast, but wanted to bring back a little bit of it. We talked about Phil and why he's missing and just the whole atmosphere around this, in which there's more questions than there are answers. But I also wanted to ask him, wanted his opinion, would the golf world, the PGA Tour specifically, his peers, welcome him back should he decide to return to the PGA?
It's a good question. I very much think so, but I also believe that a lot of tour players have known exactly what Phil is for a long time. And I think they have known that he's extremely egotistical and has always been very about Phil. And I think that's rubbed a lot of players the wrong way. At the same time, I know he's been a great mentor to some other players. So I think that's a mixed bag as well. But, you know, if he's given forgiveness or whatever it is by the governing bodies of golf, then, yeah, he's going to be back. And who knows? Maybe we'll be back to normal again.
It's interesting because we went for a long stretch without Tiger Woods. And in that void, we had Phil Mickelson becoming the first major winner at 50 years old. And now we're going this long stretch without Phil. But hello, Tiger has returned again, which is just a strange.
You're doing a good job of spinning all these storylines, aren't you?
It's interesting because we went for a long stretch without Tiger Woods. And in that void, we had Phil Mickelson becoming the first major winner at 50 years old. And now we're going this long stretch without Phil, but hello, Tiger has returned again, which is just a strange.
You're doing a good job of spinning all these storylines, aren't you?
Yeah, that's what I do on my show. So Brady, even though it's a Tiger Woods that maybe there aren't as many expectations because it's just his second tournament back, it's still Tiger Woods. So it's just, it's interesting too, to think about him and where he is and the miracle of him playing in a second major in 2022.
No, you're exactly right. And it was thrilling to see the success that he had at Augusta National. I don't know if it's going to be such the celebration this week at Southern Hills. And I said it before the Masters that, you know, as the week approached and we were able to garner more information about Tiger's health and, you know, the status of his game and just everything that was going on. It wasn't that long before that I thought there was a 20% chance that he would even play in the Masters. Then as we got closer, we learned more. And I said, you know, I think it's probably a pretty good bet that Tiger Woods is going to make the cut. And it was plus money. It was like plus 125 or something like that. And I said, I think that's a pretty good bet because this guy can, he's not here to just make the cut. We know how Tiger's mentality has been for 30 years or whatever it is. If he's here and he can walk and a course that he knows probably better than anyone else in the field, he's going to be able to handle this for 36 holes and make the cut. So I felt that was a good bet. After that, I said, you know, another 2 days, another 36 holes of Tiger Woods walking the grounds of Augusta National Golf Club, which is a very hilly golf course with a lot of elevation change, is very grueling to walk for anybody, let alone a guy who, you know, almost lost some limbs a year ago. I said, that's going to catch up to him and he probably won't finish too high. And, you know, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back here, but that's exactly what happened this time around. This is not Augusta National. This is not a course he knows like the back of his hand where he's performed well time and time again. I think it'll be more difficult, and I actually think a good bet in this case would be for Tiger to miss the cut. But I'll tell you what, Amy, I did bet Tiger Woods at 50-1 to win the British Open.
Wow.
I think in July at St. Andrews, he's going to have a chance. And I'll tell you why. I go back to him knowing Augusta National better than anyone. He may know St. Andrews better than anyone in the world at this point. He's won there twice. And there, I also believe there is a correlation between success at Augusta National and success at St. Andrews. Jack Nicklaus, Nick Faldo, Zach Johnson, Tiger Woods have all won at both golf courses. You also look at other players that have had success at both golf courses, Louis Oosthuizen, Mark Leishman, Jason Day. The other thing is St. Andrews is as flat can be. It's not going to be hard to walk at all. And the fact that he's got another couple of months to heal before he gets there. And I'm not concerned with his golf game. What I saw at Augusta National, the golf game's not the problem. It's the health and the strength in his legs and what have you. So by the time we get to mid-July, 50-1 I thought was worth a shot on Tiger to win the British Open.
It's kind of funny that Brady Cannon's podcast is called Long Shots, because that would definitely be a long shot. And there was a time when people would take Tiger Woods versus the field, and obviously things change in sports. Life comes at you fast in sports. And just the fact that he's golfing is incredible. But I also thought his insight on Phil Mickelson and what the reception might be if he determines that he wants to return to the PGA Tour. That was something, too, that is important, because maybe it does play into this. Phil's reportedly considering making this full-time jump to the Saudi Arabian tour. And I guess at this point, what else do you have to lose? He wants to work on a retirement nest egg. Do you think the man has made a lot of money, but he's also lost a lot of endorsements and lost a lot of money over the course of the last few months. So we'll see. Haven't heard a peep from him. He is still in his self-imposed exile. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Man, we have covered the gamut on this edition of the show, which I love. So golf, basketball, hockey, baseball, football. I even mentioned tennis. I didn't really talk about tennis, only to say that we've got the PGA this month and also the French Open, the next major in the tennis tour that comes up as well. I probably can't do this justice, so maybe we'll save the audio for next show. But I do also want to mention that there was a groundbreaking move made for the World Cup for men's and women's teams now are going to be paid the same, equal pay for men's and women's teams competing in the World Cup. And so I think that's significant. When you think back, I don't remember exactly when it was, maybe it was a couple months ago, where U.S. soccer finally agreed to pay its men's and women's teams equally. And now you've got that happening on the World Cup stage as well. And so this is a significant step in history. And I think it's important that after this fight that the women have engaged in, that we kind of hold up this decision, because they were willing to boycott. They were willing to sacrifice their careers if need be, and the opportunity to play on the game's biggest stage if U.S. soccer and the U.S. women's national team couldn't come to this agreement. So they've got a new agreement, equal pay for not just what they do here on national soil, but also what they do on the World Cup stage. So excited for that. They've ratified this new collective bargaining agreement, and now it's equal split. They fought for years for this. And as I say, we're willing to put their money where their mouths are. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. The crazy thing is that I'm going to pivot to another sport really quick at the end because it's Nick Saban. We have time for Nick Saban, right? And it's just funny. This is Nick Saban speaking to supporters in Birmingham, Alabama football supporters in Birmingham last night about the way football has changed with the new name, image, and likeness rules.
I mean, we were second in recruiting last year. A&M was first. A&M bought every player on their team, made a deal for name, image, and likeness. All right, we didn't buy one player, all right? But I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain that in the future because more and more people are doing it.
A&M bought every player on their team last year. Nick Saban knows that he's speaking publicly. He knows that there are recording devices and there are people who are likely to pass on his words elsewhere, and he does not mince words. A&M bought every player on its team last year. Now, Saban has been one of those who's come out ever since the NIL rules went into effect to say, hey, this is a challenge. This is going to be difficult to police. How can you determine what is money for name, image, and likeness, and what is money that is pay for play? I mean, right now it's the Wild Wild West. There's really no way to determine who's getting paid to play and who's getting paid for the use of their name, image, and likeness. And I just thought that was interesting. So shot fired over the bow to College Station in Texas A&M. Have a great Thursday. We'll talk to you tonight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.